And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday as we work together to know the letter better. First into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord doth require of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, when God shows up and it's real, there is a hush over the crowds. There is a keen awareness that something incredible is happening. Do you see the extraordinary now like they did back then? If you have ever seen any person decide for Jesus, or if you have ever experienced an answer to prayer, you have been a witness to a miracle and a resurrection. Wow. Next, together is the key. Together is how the early church was such a great witness. They were one. If we think of the church right this second, we think of a lot of splintering. But right now in your life, at this moment, you can be part of the together church. Be a companion to all that fear him. All of them that fear him, be connected to. And love every authentic Christ follower beyond denominational walls. And finally, they sold their possessions and goods. Wow. Some commentators believe that they did that because they thought Jesus was coming back immediately. Others believe that they gave their possessions away to invest in eternity. The Bible tells us that love believes the best, not the worst in others. So in regards to the early Christians, we'll believe the best. Let's go with that.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, 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 hey. We're asking you, what do you think? That counts. You know what? Your opinion, your ideas, your concepts, your principles, they count. They matter. And you can reach out to us in a couple of different ways and share that with us. You can email david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Comes right to my $1.19 Chromebook right in front of me. You can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. And you can also call us 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you make that phone call, amazing, absolutely outstanding, incredible job doing the show, Jennifer. Will answer the phone.
I will. I will answer the phone.
There you go. And she will answer, Bob's Pizza. How can I help you?
No. Exactly.
You know, one time, just one time, what we're going to do is somebody's going to call in and they're actually going to order us a pizza. just, you know, we're going to have it happen at some point. Not today, but I'm just saying at some point. Anyway, so you can talk to her and then she'll put you over to me and then we'll talk and see what's going on. Here's the bottom line. You might have a comment. You might have an opinion. You might have a thought. Maybe the Lord is working on something in your life and you want to share that with others. Or maybe you got a question because you don't quite get the process of what's going on. Perhaps you have a praise report or a prayer request or even an answer to Bible trivia. Who did Jesus tell that he must be born again to? Who did he say that to? You must be born again. Who did he say that to? What do you mean born again? Okay. It's an easy one. We usually do easy ones on the very beginning of the 60-minute part. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Please don't forget, even though if you go to the website, which we'll announce in a second, and you see that special thing that's on the website, don't get caught up in that until after the show. And then the other thing, without being apologetic, that thing that's on the website that you can have for free or maybe for under a buck, it's not perfect. But then it's free or under a buck, so you got to get what you pay for. That's a good way to say it. The story is what counts. Somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Here we go. Ready? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Afternoon, David. Do I need to turn my radio down?
Yeah, turn your radio down. All you gotta just turn yours down, and then it won't echo.
Okay,
go ahead and do that. It only takes a sec, and then that should help you so that you don't hear that reverberation. How's that?
Okay.
There you go. See that? I'm a technological person, too.
The answer is... What was the question again?
The question is, who did Jesus say that you must be born again? Who did he say that to?
Nicodemus.
That is correct, Amundo! That is 100% right on. Excellente. I assume you knew that right away. Is that correct?
I did.
I'm
I haven't
so
called bad. In a while.
Well,
I listen to you daily.
Well, I appreciate that. You call it anytime, and if there's anything we can pray for you on or anything you want to share, you have an open format, so never hesitate, okay?
Thank you, David, and have a good afternoon.
All right, God bless you.
Bless you.
Bye-bye. All right, there we go, there we go. All right, what are we doing? I don't even know. Oh, so yeah, so the website. So we're going to tell you about the website in a second. Let me just say this real quickly. There's something up there that you can get. Like I said, it's free or 99 cents. Now, what that is I don't know how they do it, but for right now, it's for your nice. But it is electronic initially. We're not to the print point. If you haven't figured that out, it's the book. But we're still kind of working out some kinks, waiting for Bill M to kind of give us some finalization. And we'll be updating it because they've given me permission to update forever and a day, which was a bad idea. Just a bad idea. But that's what we're going to be doing. So check that out. We want you to go to, and by the way, you can give here as well, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie artichokey. Remember that. Is a theological term. Here we go. We're going to go back into the book of Acts chapter 2. As you can tell in the book of Acts, and especially in Matthew and book of Acts, we are doing this word, not even line by line, word by word is kind of how it's going, which is kind of nice because it gives me a lot of material to teach from. Let me get into this. We're in 43, but I'm going to do a read-up. I'm going to do a build-up because I want you to have the context. Whenever you're reading Scripture, there's nothing wrong with an isolated Scripture. And if the Lord highlights something to you, that's the Lord. Stop worrying about it. You're not, you know, building a doctrine on it. It's okay if the Lord shows you something really nifty. All that stuff's cool. But when we're in the teaching mode, you kind of want to have the whole context together. Not kind of, you do. So that you can understand what's taking place. So in verse 40, and I'm going to just kind of go right through up to verse 43, it says this. With many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. Verse 43, and here we go. Then fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All right. For those of you that know I'm a Baptist, this ought to be pretty easy for you to understand, okay? Does the Lord still do miraculous things? Sure. Is there a group walking around that's as powerful as the 12 apostles? You're dreaming. There's not a chance. Those 12 actually are the only one that got a designation or a title as the 12. That's pretty impressive, actually, if you think about it. But when they were operating, it was really some powerful stuff. Does the Lord still do powerful stuff? Of course. But it wasn't like that dynamic of these guys who followed Jesus and were collectively together and were at the core of the birth of the church. Keep in mind, their ministry has gone on through Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit for 2,000 years. It's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good ministry. But what I want to point out is fear came upon every soul. That does not say fear came upon unbelievers and fear came upon believers. And the word fear is not tremble, but awe, respect, reverence. And in awe, a respect came upon everybody because many wonders were done through the apostles. I want to make this point very clear. God does powerful miracles. And if you're ever in a church service and you see somebody make a genuine first-time decision for Jesus Christ, you just witnessed a resurrection. I know, we don't think of it that way because we're so dignified. But a person went from direction of hell to direction of heaven, resurrecting from darkness into light, from Satan to God, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And if you're a part of it and you get to witness it, it is the greatest miracle, because how long does that miracle last? Eternity. That's long, right? I mean, no offense, I think healings are awesome. If somebody gets a healed back or something, that's great. But that person's going to die. I'm just saying, it only lasts so many years. Somebody who gets saved, that's eternal. That, my friends, brings a sincere humility and hush and reverence and awe. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy, 972-445-1700, or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
So the situation for the woman turned out to be fine. But remember, he's there with Jairus, and Jairus' daughter is dying. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." This is a situation for Jairus that went from worse to the worst. All right, you know how we said it can go from bad to worse? We were talking about that. Well, it can go from bad to worse to the worst. And this is the worst. The guy's daughter died.
Oh, she wasn't just really sick.
She died dead. And they even said to her, "What? There's no point in talking to this guy anymore. This is over. Situation done." And that's how a lot of us process. Situation done. But then Jesus does what Jesus does, because he's so amazing. He overheard what they said to him. They didn't say it to Jesus. They said it to the guy. They said it to Jairus, right? And they said to him, "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." So there are three things that you can't miss this. Number one, Jesus is telling the guy whose daughter just died, ignore them. It's like, can you imagine? Okay. The doctor just pronounced her dead. Yeah, ignore that guy. What? He's the doctor. Ignore that guy. That's just like the blind man who are like people are telling him, be quiet, stop it, stop it. And he shouts out all the more. It's at some point you just got to ignore any external noise that hasn't been sanctioned by God and just go, yeah, I'm not paying attention to that. You're here when I need you the most, when I need you the most. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, Deb, who's one of our closest allies and part of our board, has asked for a prayer request for somebody that she knows. So I just want to open in prayer for this person. They're going through surgery. It should not be too radical, but we want to pray because that's what we do as a community. So let's just pray real fast. Father, we come before you right now in the powerful name of Jesus. And again, we ask you for help from the Holy Spirit to guide us in this prayer. But we ask that you would touch this person who's going through surgery. We understand from the prayer request it's not should not be as big an issue as like what we were praying for Crystal. But what we do ask, Lord, is that the simplicity of it would be just that, and it would all be good news, and there'd be nothing weird, and that the family would be at peace, and there would be comfort for all of them. We just pray. We know that this individual gives of their life to protect people, and so we're asking you to put just a bubble around the family of protection and comfort and grace. We lift them up before you, and we do trust you for the amazing miracles that you do. We look to that, and we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, there we go on that, and we'll have Deb give us an update whenever we get an update on that as well. Again, you can go to the website. We're not going to do the sound for the website. You can go to the website, though. There is something new at the very top of it for free or 99 cents. I don't know how long it lasts. True or false, after Jesus spat, that is the past tense for spit, right? Spat? Is that right?
It sounds right.
Yeah. I just can't stand English.
It's been a while since I've been in school, so.
True or false, after Jesus spat on the blind man's eye, the man said he could see people, but they all looked like tiny little young children. So we should play our little sound to warn people. The warning. That was so loud. It scared Jennifer.
That was loud. I jumped.
All right. Then that's the warning that tells you, uh-oh, watch what Dave's doing. There you go. After Jesus spat on the blind man's eye, the man said he could see people, but they all looked tiny, like very young children. It's like, what? Oh, my goodness. Somebody is calling in, so that's good because that will spare me from doing the joke quite yet, but that won't last long, so don't get too excited. We ready? Ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Paul, David. How
hey,
you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Paul. How you doing? Don't forget to go to the website and check it out if you get a chance at the top of the website.
Okay, yeah. Yesterday I was doing wonderful, but today I'm doing twice as wonderful.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. You're even twice as good. That's twice as good to hear. That is awesome. Okay.
I'm way out here in the country, so I'm surprised I'm talking to you.
All right. That's what we love about you, and we love your faith. That's also something we love about you. Here's let's make this simple. True or false, after Jesus spat on the blind man said he could see people, but they all look like tiny, little, very young children.
I want to say it's false. I thought he said they look like trees.
Now you are correct! Yes! 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 That is right. And so what's so funny about that, that's why I gave the warning at the end. It's false. They look like trees. And I just want to point out, that I almost went with they all look like little balloons. But then I thought nobody's going to buy balloons because balloons weren't around back then that way. So, yeah.
That's right.
That's good. Good catch. Good job. Excellent work, my brother. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, I'm surprised I'm talking to you. So y'all have a wonderful day.
All right. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Excellent. All right. Before we get into the rest of the text, it's kind of a weird joke. So it's Christian kinda. I don't know why I have to tell you that, but just follow through. After making the comment introduction, okay, here's a politically correct reference to somebody in a book. Just follow this. You'll appreciate it because it's kind of funny. The Smiths were proud of their long family history. The family lineage, because it's a book, that's why. The family lineage had included business and political figures and more than a few priests and bishops, and there was even one cardinal. The family had a great legacy. They decided to compile a family history, a legacy. They hired a fine author. But there was a problem on how to deal with the story about great Uncle George, who had been executed for murder in the electric chair. The author assured the family he would handle the story as tactfully as possible. When the book appeared, it read, "Great Uncle George occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important governmental institution and was attracted to his position by the strongest of ties. His death came as a great shock." See how people can spin something, though? It's just like, wow. Talk about spinning. Okay. All right. All right. So Deb was thanking us for the prayer, but I guess this is a much more serious prayer than I thought. So when you guys are praying for it, undo the simplicity of it I made and make it more serious. Okay. All right. So everybody be praying for this friend of Aunt Deb's. Aunt Deb's one of our strongest people. That she's one of our anchors for our show. So if she's concerned about it, then we are all to be committed and concerned for it as well. Okay, let's go to the rest of this verse. Now, fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common. So this then is the biggest difference from the early church to the current church. When we think of the church, and I will say that there are many wonderful, fantastic bodies of believers. There are 350,000 churches in the United States. Out of that, there's no doubt way more than 80-85% that are solid in the fact that the people are good and they gather together and they're loving on the Lord. There's no question about that. But when people talk about the church, usually it comes through the lens of the media or comes through the lens of somebody who's critical, and we think of the church as splintered, and in many ways it is splintered because what people are doing is they're taking sides. If you don't think people take sides, just think about a sporting contest. If you're from Michigan, you're a Michigan fan, and whenever they play Ohio State, you hate Ohio State. Whenever you're an Ohio State fan and you're playing Michigan, you hate Michigan. I mean, so you take sides. That happens all the time, okay? In the church, believe it or not, people do that doctrinally. They take sides. And you think, well, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take sides. And I could just refer you to the scripture where Paul said, you know, one says, I follow Paul, I follow Cephas, I follow Apollos, I follow Christ. And every person I've ever talked to says the same thing. They say, oh, so that's me. I follow Christ. I follow Christ. And you just completely miss the whole context of that scripture. The whole context that Paul is talking about is it's not supposed to be I. It's supposed to be we. Okay, so that's just a big miss in general. And the unity of the church is a witness, according to Jesus Christ in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. The unity of the church, not of an individual denomination, but of the church, the eclectic church, is a witness to the world. And it is in togetherness that the church has a great sense of power. The early church was fantastic in this togetherness. And you want to know why? Because if you joined the church and you were part of the movement and you believed in Jesus, your life was on the line. And you had to be committed to one another. So what happens when there's a unification versus a split or a splintering or a separation? Unification brings about getting things done and accomplished and building, and division creates nothing progressive. I will just simply refer you to the smallest church unit there is, the family, and talk about the father and the mother being split in their lives and how little the family gets done if they're not together. And how much more true is that for the body of Christ regarding the kingdom of God and its offspring? In the Tower of Babel, They had a unified mentality, a goal, and the same verbiage, and together they were going to do something, and it was God who split them apart. And God was the one who commented and said, they're united, they're one mind, they can get this done. In the church, early church, it was united, and they got things done, even under the most intense pressure. In our Christianity, we're very spoiled. We have a plethora of the word. You can access church without moving out of your comfy lazy boy. Okay, there's a reason they call it lazy boy. And so the idea behind this is we as a body can push past that. We as the people of God can push past that by making sure that we are a genuine companion to all those that fear. You do that on this radio show. You might not even be aware of it, but on this show, when you pray for one another in different denominations, you are reflecting the early church. And that's what we should be doing. Because it's very simple. When the persecution increases, if the Lord doesn't say, okay, time to go, everybody out, or if that gets delayed, it's one another that we will depend upon. Can you understand? I just want you to really grasp that. You need one another, and everyone needs you. And I mean wholesale. If you're an authentic believer of God, every other believer that's authentic is your brother or your sister, period. And we have one dad, and we drink from one fountain, and we are Jesus' blood relatives. Get that? Is that kind of important or what? I don't know. Is the witness of the church important to the world? Was to Jesus. Can't fulfill the great command or the great commandments without it, and you cannot fill the great commission without it. Just think of it in those terms. All right, take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
My next guest has been on the show before with a prior book. I'm very excited to talk to him about this book. I've seen a couple of the interviews that he's done, and this book is a great apologetic book on Christology, and I'm hoping that people will really enjoy this. First and foremost, let's welcome back to our show David Limbaugh. David, how are you doing, sir?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Excellent book, by the way. Big props. We're writing
Thank
The True
you.
Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. I know they give me a list, and I know you know they give a list for us to ask questions, but if you remember from the last time you were on the show, I rarely look at that list.
So, no, that's good. That's
yeah, because I like to get from you as the author, you know, kind of where it was going and what you were thinking. So let's just talk about at the core level, you know, for the purpose of writing this book, what was the big goal you were trying to accomplish in writing The True Jesus?
Well, I started out, I wanted to write a primer, a survey, an introduction to the New Testament. And as I got into it, I realized that I could not cover it adequately with sufficient depth. So I asked the publisher, Regnery, if I could narrow the focus to just the Gospels, because the Gospels are where you see the living Son of God and you encounter him. And you sit at his feet and hear his teachings and you watch him and you observe his behavior and his authoritative teaching and his empathy for human beings. And you see his declaration of divinity and why he led the Jewish authorities to want to crucify him, because he was, in fact, claiming to be God, because he is God. And so I want his divinity and his full humanity to jump off the pages of my book. And the book is a compendium of the four Gospels in a consolidated account, not attempting to be a harmony, which you can't totally do in a roughly chronological form. The ultimate goal, and with a running commentary, the ultimate goal is I want to inspire people to read the Gospels and the Bible for themselves.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So I got a text from Deb again, and I think it's really important that we talk about these things. The denominational element is super important. It's not that it's wrong to have the word denominate, by the way, in case you don't know, means to identify with. It's not wrong to have a denomination. It's wrong when the denomination separates body parts. So just think of it this way. It's super easy because in all the references in Scripture, there's 12, might be more, maybe one less, but body references to the church have different symbols, okay? So you got a body, a building, right? You have a lampstick, you know, you got different symbols like that. The body is the one that's used more often than any other one, and the hand is a very important part of the body, but just try and use the hand without the shoulder. Let me know how that goes. You can't. And you can't use you can't use the eyes if you don't have a neck. I mean, it's just because think of it in those terms. That's why the denomination is really important. So John 13, 34 and 35 are the scriptures that identify. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another. Well, that was to different disciples that Jesus said that. The easiest way for me, because I'm Jewish, to think of it is there's 12 tribes, but one Israel. The tribes had different cultures, even within them. And some of them, like the Levites, had a completely different functionality altogether. Some were marched on the left, and some on the north, some on the south, some on the east, some on the west, and some were in the center. They're all doing different things. But what did God call them? Israel. So we need to have a better handle on that unification element. Not that you don't identify with things and not that you don't appreciate them, but you don't use them as marks of division. Remember, Galatians talks about the works of the flesh, and one of those is divisions. Ooh, ouch! Ow, get the knife out of my back. Here we go. Here's our next trivia question. When Jesus said that Elijah had already come, who was he referring to? Who was he talking about when he said Elijah has already come? Don't forget to go to our website. We will do it one more time just because I'm in that kind of weirdo mood. Don't forget there's something up there. There's a gift for free or 99 cents. Still, it's worth it. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, got my history ready to go. So we're going to do our history little sound, our history sound as well. Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past. Okay, some of these are really good. Some people are going to go, oh, I don't think that's good. Then for the people that are going to say, I don't think that's good, just say that to yourself. That way nobody will pay attention. First of all, this is a great thing. National Lasagna Day. I'm all day. That's just...
Lasagna is good.
I love lasagna, right? Have you had Marie Callender has some good lasagna.
Yeah, I think I've had that.
Oh, man. So you get there for lasagna and they go for pie and it's just like... it's also National Chicken Wing Day. Another huge favorite. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just like, hello. That's hello.
We need to
That's
celebrate both of those.
I'm telling you, those are two great things. 1958, the NASA, National Aeronautics of Space Administration, is created. 1958 on this day. On 1989 on this day, the first 8-foot high jump, Cuban high jumper Javier Sotomayor, cleared 8'0". It's the same thing that happened when the mile was broken, the 4-minute mile. Nobody thought the 4-minute mile could be broken. Nobody thought it could be. No, couldn't happen. No, it was broken, and then it was broken 100,000 times after that. So it's just that mindset that's can't do it, can't do it, can't do it.
Just takes that one.
Just takes that one person. Now 8-foot. 8-foot, that it? Come on.
All right. And then the last thing, and for some people, this is more cool than for other people. But in 1954, The Fellowship of the Ring, the first part of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, is published. In 1954, not the movie. I'm not saying the movie's bad. I'm saying not the movie. We're talking about the book. Okay? All right. All right. That's all the history. Here's our here's our question. Oh, when Jesus said Elijah had already come, who was he referring to? Here's your only extra hint, because I'm helping somebody out that's a friend. It wasn't talking about himself. Is that a nice way to tell somebody that? He wasn't talking about himself. All right. What do we got? The show? Somebody's calling in. That's good. We do have a show, right? Okay. Yikes. Somebody's calling in. We'll let them answer the trivia question. It's a straightforward-y kind of question. They are going to answer it, so I'm leaning over right now while Jennifer hits the ringer. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Brother A. Just here.
Hey, Brother Ace. Great to hear from you, my good friend.
Yeah, I've been listening, and I want to mention something before we get started.
Sure.
I don't know how many people are willing to pitch in to help Samson get him a car. I mean, I'm willing to pitch in $200-$300 if I can get it started and see if others can pitch in a couple of hundred or whatever and end up buying him a little car that he can use. I don't have a problem with that.
You know, that's such a great, great, great idea. We got to figure out how to do that. I don't know how to go about that, but I'm just trying to figure out what's a way to do that. I don't think we need to do a GoFundMe thing, but maybe if people emailed or called in during the show and just gave their information, maybe we could put it together collectively. But just the fact that you're willing to do that shows everybody exactly what we're talking about. That's the brotherhood, and I appreciate that.
What you would do, and let's see how much money we've got.
Yeah.
And then give it to Samson and trust him to buy a car with it, and that's what we do.
Yeah. No, I think that's fantastic. That's a great idea. Let me put together in my brain one way to do it. You keep that on reserve, and then I'll kind of think it through, but I'm going to mention that and then see what we can do to put that together. So first, let me thank you for that.
Support your ministry. I mean, we don't want to cut you out.
Yeah, no,
we support your ministry too.
I'd rather that. I already have people texting and saying they'd give more money. So we're gonna have to look at how to do that. All right. In the meantime, because our time is getting away from us as it is every show. All right. Who is Jesus talking about when he was referring to Elijah had already come?
Well, I don't know if you're saying Elisha or Elijah. That's how he said.
Oh, yeah. I got to be careful. Okay, Elijah.
Yeah, no, nobody. Nobody that I know of.
Okay. Yeah, here we go. So who was the guy that went before Jesus?
Do what now?
Who is the guy that was the prophet before Jesus came who proclaimed Jesus was en route? Who was the one? Yes! So Jesus, when he was talking about John the Baptist, he said this one amazing statement. He said, and he is Elijah to come if you can receive it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one, right? Yeah.
So we need to help Samson get him a car.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, you got it.
We love your radio program. Thank you.
You got it, my brother. I love you in the Lord. You know that, right?
Yes, man. Take care of yourself.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. That's Christian community. Just we'll figure it out. We're going to figure out how to do this. Where am I at? Oh, here we are. Okay. I am teaching, you know. Okay. The verse 43, through the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all believed, were together, remember, and had everything in common, and sold their possessions and goods. Now let's just stop right there. Sold their possessions and goods. We're going to get to the last part of it in the next segment. But what that has to do with is being willing to part with the things that are so close, selling our possessions and our goods. And so what that has to do with more than anything else is being willing to sacrifice whatever for the kingdom of God. We'll talk about the other part of that in the next segment. But what I want you to understand is people's possessions, what they have, what their goods are, what their land is. That's when people give away their land. These are things that are close and dear to them, and they're important to them. And they were willing, keyword willing, to, and they wanted to, and they were willing to sell what they had for the common good. You just heard Ace talking about, hey, Samson needs a car, and what if we can put together a few funds and put that together? Now, I've got already three more people who are willing to do that, and there's got to be a way to do it, and we'll talk about it and figure out how to do that. But what I want you to see is there people are willing to give up for one another. That is what the faith is. This is it. You're watching it. You're hearing it. And you're not seeing it because it's radio, but you're getting the picture portrayed for you, because being willing to give for one another and give up for one another is the key. That's the key. And the key is that we do that for one another. That's the witness. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Somebody, we got like a minute. Somebody calling in? Question, comment?
A question.
Okay.
I think it may be Troy.
Okay, we might have to, can we bump him to the next segment? Is it possible to do that? Because we're just too tight on the break. Tell him we'll come back to him on that next one and see what we can do. Just tell him to hang on. Not to go anywhere. Okay, and the reason that I'm doing that is because I want to finish this thought real quickly, and then we'll have Troy come on, and he can help us towards the end. Here's what I want you to catch. Christian faith, Christian community is exactly what we should be functioning in regularly, okay? Joy has an idea. People can send a check to the radio station. We collect them all. That's not a bad idea, right? That's not a bad idea. And you can make it out to either, I don't know if they should make the radio station or the ministry, because the ministry, they can deduct it 100% because it's still a donation.
Yeah, I would make it out to.
Yeah. So if you have a check and you send it to the radio station, and that way somebody third party can be observing it, which I think is a good idea, then you can make them all out to He Must Increase Ministry, and then we take that collective amount and give it to Samson. That's a good way to do that. All right, we'll talk more about that when we come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit, because after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
A big portion of being guided is asking, prayer, when you're praying with people, fellowship amongst other people can lead you to guidance. It's happened on more than one occasion for me. Counsel is obviously very good, both spiritual and not necessarily biblical. Also, practical counsel is good. Circumstances often speak to us and give us guidance. open doors or, for that fact, closed doors. We know his word gives us guidance. We know in 2 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, Paul said that he used peace of mind as an aspect of guidance. These are all the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us is, of course, the number one element for guidance is to be led by the Spirit, right? These are all hugely important.
The David Spoon Experience on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. And we're going to do some updating on this discussion, this idea that Ace had in a second. We're going to have Troy come on the air first, and then we're going to give you some, we got some ideas that have meshing together already in minutes. So we're going to take care of that in just a second. But Troy called in. I think he's got a question. Let's ask what it is that he wants to talk about. Let's fire away with Troy. Troy, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. And you doing all right?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you?
Hey, I'm going to bring up that subject again we was talking about yesterday, them food stamps and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
You asked me how did neighbors or people get food or something like that. You know, I just remembered last night, they give us, I was about 8 or 9 or something like that. I don't remember. But money must not have been no good. Money must not have been no good because they give people, back in them days, we had street cars, and they give tokens for money, you know, to ride the street cars.
Gotcha.
And getting back to these people that helped each other. Now, maybe you got a neighbor got sugar stamps, and you're out of sugar, and she's out of something else. Y'all trade stamps. But that's another problem run into that. When you go to the store may be out. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep, I understand. But still, sometimes the neighbors would help one another, depending on if one had a need and the other had the need, and they could swap, right?
Yeah. I mean, if they had the stamps... their neighbor needed sugar. We trade maybe some meat for some sugar or something, you know, vice versa, you know.
Gotcha. That's a great point. I'm so glad you brought that up because we're talking about trying to raise some funds here for Samson, for him to get a car, and this is people taking care of one another. It kind of all correlates. So you're doing a really good job. That's excellent.
We kept them tokens around for years. I don't know what ever happened to them.
You know, got it.
You just get rid of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yep. All right, good job, Troy.
Hey, wait a minute, one more problem here. A Catholic priest, you know, after somebody passes away, they pray for them. Does that do any good? I mean, their spirit is done gone to heaven, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, from a theological point of view, it's very comforting for the people that listen. That's the only answer I'm going to give it. It's only comforting for those who can hear the prayer. Okay.
All right. I wanted to tell you about the food stamps and stuff like that.
That.
I mean, it was terrible, man. This happened a year ago here in Dallas or in the United States. It ain't nothing compared to that back in them days.
And I think that's really good for people to be aware of. And that's, you're our historian, and we appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
All right. God bless you, brother. Bye-bye. All right. It's so funny because he has that perspective. Don't you love that? And then he gets in that real quick question. I'm going to do the trivia, and we're going to finish the teaching because I still have enough minutes, but just listen to what I'm going to say. This is real, real quick. If you go to the website of the station, okay, which is 770kaam.com, or even if you go to our website, hemustincrease.org, and under a contact list, the station is there, but the address is there, and it just says, put attention David Spoon. So, I mean, that's there as well. So there's a couple ways to get it. If you need to call the station because you don't have access, you can call the station, but I just don't want you guys to flood Jennifer with calls. The idea, though, is if you send a check, and Deb made a great point, put in the memo that it's for Samson. And then we'll collect that check, and everybody will put it together, and the ministry will commit funds as well, and we'll put it all together, and hopefully Samson's not listening. And then when Samson calls in or whatever the situation is, we'll take all those funds and we'll give them to him. And then that way we can just be a blessing for him. So if you want to do that, the best way to do that is going to be do it by check. Send it to the station, make it out to He Must Increase Ministry, or HMIM, that's fine too, and then put in the memo Samson, and then we'll collect it all, and then we'll see where it all comes together. That's the best we can do. We'll do that. How about that? So, way to start something ace. And if you do call in, Jennifer will give you the address, but just send a check that way. That way it's all separated, and then I can have Jennifer verify that those are the checks that come in because we try to do everything financially verification-wise. Okay, last trivia question. To whom did Jesus say, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? I will give you one hint. It was not the Pharisees. That's kind of a nice hint. You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. He said that to a particular group. If you think you know the name of that group, you can call in or you can text in the call-in number 972-445-0770 or the text in 214-210-8483 or you can still email david@hemustincrease.org. I mean, this is one of those shows, right? I got to do this last part of teaching because this is really important. And by the way, if you are not able to contribute to this thing that's going on with Samson, don't worry about it. Oh, my goodness. Just pray for the guy. Never, ever, ever feel guilty. If there's a cause that comes up and you can't participate, no guilt allowed. It's not matzo ball soup that you're being served, okay? Take a deep breath. You just be in prayer for it. Who's calling? Got somebody on the line. Okay? We want to answer it? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, guess who?
I'm so glad you called. I love it when you call. All right. So I'm going to guess you're going to go with the trivia question. Are you ready for it?
I think so.
Okay. All right. We'll get there. All right. To who? Now, it's not the Pharisees, but that's a hint, right? To whom did Jesus say, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? Who did he say that to?
Well, if it wasn't the Pharisees, was it the Sadducees?
That is correct! Yes! You are right! And the old Christian joke is that because the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection, they didn't believe in the angels, they didn't believe in anything, so they would say that they were the Sadducees because they were sad, you see.
Oh, he's sad, you see. That's a good one.
Excellent.
Hey, David, I just wanted to make a comment real quick.
Sure.
And if I got this off your show, I'm sorry, but I think it's cool. And if I did get it from your show, then it just needs to be repeated. But it says he gave his life for us so he could give his life to us, so he could live his life through us.
Oh, that is good. Now, that's not from our show, although I wrote that in a paper. That's not from our show. That's a really, really good statement. Excellent.
All right. Well, y'all have a good afternoon.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Deborah. That was great.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I love that. I love stuff like that. That's one of the reasons I'm still in school, because of stuff like that. All right. Last thing I want to say on this, and then people, this is where people can lose their minds, but that's okay. All right. So verse 43, fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and good and divided them up among all, watch this, as anyone had need. All right. Did you hear that? As anyone had need. Okay, how do you know that the early church is not socialistic or communistic? Because it wasn't, they took all the stuff they had and divided it equally among everybody. It doesn't say that. See how these things are? These are these little things that people miss, okay? It says they sold their possessions and divided them as anyone had need. But if they didn't have need, they didn't need to get anything. Like, Samson has a need. We're going to try and pull our stuff together and help him. But I don't have that need for a car, so I don't need that. It's like, it's not, so it's not, well, everybody gets the same Yugo car. It's like, that's not how this goes. And so why I bring that up is because everything that the early church did was volunteer-oriented. But when the government tries to make it happen, it's just people who are not filled with the Spirit and don't believe the Word of God trying to impose a false righteousness, but more so they can have power than they can have relief. It's like, it's so weird. It's like, why would you even do this? Here's the bottom line. The people were together. They sold what they had. They took care of one another. They loved on one another, and they were a witness to the world. It was such a threat, and I will say this, and this will just absolutely blow your mind. It was such a threat, the little church, that it ultimately took down one of the strongest kingdoms ever created by mankind, the entire Roman civilization and government. Just because the church said, we're going to do this united. We're going to take care of one another. We're going to love one another. We're going to forgive each other. We're going to bless each other. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to reflect Jesus Christ. And that philosophy ultimately brought down the great, independent, powerful nation of Rome. Because it was in conflict with people being in fear and in complete service to the emperor, there was a new king who came. And yet he's conquered kingdom after kingdom after kingdom. Isn't it amazing? It's like, wow. Even Napoleon Bonaparte said Jesus is the most amazing because he created kingdoms and didn't use any weapons. It's like, wow. Yeah, I love stuff like that. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Can't stand the skill, can't stand
the shame. The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.